Welcome to the Desert Wheel Podcast, episode 11. This week, reading, watching, playing as usual, a lot of E3 news, and we have a new feature, Monster Battles, based on the game Super Fight, which we got through the Loot Crate. Very nice.
Yeah, really good, eh?
Ready to crack on?
Yep.
Shall we?
Let's go.
Let's do it!
Right, we're going to start as we did last time. We're just going to have a wee chat amongst ourselves before we go straight into reading, watching, playing. Guys, have you been doing much? Have you been up to much since we last recorded? What have you been doing?
Well, I've been doing nothing. I spent the whole weekend, this last weekend, indoors, ill. But then on the bonus, flip side of that, I get to play the computer.
Well, that's good.
That's awesome.
That's right. Good.
So it's pretty much a standard weekend, really.
There you go. I quite like those weekends, Tommy.
Been doing a little bit here and there. We had good weather last week.
We did, for once.
For 3 days or something.
Weird day.
That was weird.
There was this big blue thing in the sky, it was amazing.
That reminded me of the summers that I can remember from my childhood, which were always blazing hot for like 8 weeks.
Oh yeah, they were.
Ah, right. This always happens. People always say, remember when
No, it did happen.
No, it doesn't happen. It's like when you had, like when you were wee and you're like, remember those winters that we had and the snow was like 8 feet deep? It's like, no,
it was!
That happened like once, but you just overruled. Remember that.
No, I know what you mean, but
the sun, the last week was ridiculously hot, though.
It was pretty awesome.
It was pretty melting. It was really melting, actually.
Even better to stay indoors.
I know, right?
It's because I've got hay fever as well, man. Fucking the sun hates. I hate the sun. I wish summer would never come. I want it to be winter all the time.
Positivity is the key. Right. What have I been up to? I've done enough to talk about, actually. Shut up, cat. We've got two guests this week. My cats, again. So, I've been on a stag do, which I organised for a bunch of chaps and one of my good pals. So, did a bit of karting, indoor, like, petrol karting, which was pretty good. Then went and played Zorb football.
Man, Zorb football looks so fun.
It was awesome. It was really good. I feel like I almost broke the stag's neck at one point, because you have to do this thing where you, like, you both stand at opposite ends of the pitch and you basically just get told, right, go, and you have to run into each other. And I don't know whether you couldn't really see properly out of it, but I don't know whether he slowed down or I sped up, but I ended up absolutely battering into him and like pushing it like making him almost do like a backflip and stuff like that, and he landed on his head for one of it. And like, you've got about like a foot or two above you where the Zorb ball is, but he still managed to. But you've got a helmet on, and he still managed to land on his head. And I just heard him going, "Ah!" I was like, "Oh fuck! I can't be taking him to the hospital on his stag."
I've killed the stag.
So I was like, I shat myself for that, but he was fine.
Full body cast for the minute.
Doing a speech, going, "This is all my fault."
You're welcome.
Enjoy.
Do you take this? Would maybe be your bride, blink once for yes.
he was fine in the end. We all had a good time and got suitably smashed. And then last weekend, I bottled the Desert Whale Pale Ale.
Yes,
at Stewart's Brewery in Lonehead.
It's very nice. It is.
I'm pretty happy with it. Pretty pleased with it.
It's lovely.
You do not sound convinced, Tommy.
It's always been a try. Yeah. Sound convincing. No, it's nicer. It's all right. Like.
Appreciate it. We'll tweet a wee picture of that and let you all see it. We made another one as well. I made one called the Daredevil Braille Ale too. And
genius. I guess genius.
Thanks, man. I get you feeling that was a little bit sarcastic, but it's okay.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was good as well.
Oh. No, I thought it was good. Oh, cool. Because you actually put the label in Braille. I thought it was clever.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
It looks like Domino's.
It does a little bit. Yeah, you're right. But it's ended up quite nice. I'm quite happy with it. So that's kind of what we've been up to.
Good.
So do you fellas want to crack on then and go straight into the reading, watching, playing from here?
I'll start. Like I say, I've been playing non-stop Witcher 3.
Nice.
Well, I say non-stop. Nicola, my girlfriend, got a Lego Jurassic World.
I believe that's fiancé now.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
For if she ever listens to this.
Aye, shit. Aye, Mrs. she got Lego Jurassic World, and man, she I don't like Lego games.
I played the last Marvel Superheroes Lego game, and I really enjoyed that.
But it's not bad. But when I joined in with her, she moaned at me because basically you can get like little cars on that, kind of like little Jurassic World cars, and I was just driving about and I was just running her over, right? And kind of like, I was just pissing about because the game's pretty boring. But like, I was just like driving about making an arse of myself, and she was just like moaning at me. So I came out of that, and then like anything fun, like I killed the dinosaurs. She needed to try and save the dinosaurs. I was going about shooting them. She was shouting me to that. But that's pretty much it. Like it's crap. Anyway, Witcher. Anyway,
I got the Witcher. Yeah,
Witcher 3 took me quite a while to get into. To be honest, a lot of folk were texting me. Actually, me saying it's like one of the best games I've ever played, and that, and you know, when someone's like, it's the greatest thing ever, and you put it on and it doesn't instantly grab you, you're like, what the fuck's the fuss about?
Mm-hmm.
So I played it for about 7 or 8 hours, and I still wasn't quite into it as much as everyone else was. And then just one day I put it on, and just boom, it happened. I was just like, this is fucking immense. The game is huge, there's so much detail.
I think you've told me a couple of times that it's absolutely like gargantuan and.
Aye, it's massive.
Maybe it's a lot of fun as well.
So. It is. It's a really good game. It's just really well done. Like the main character, it's really likable and that. And I don't know much about the story because I'm still based. Because you just get like, if they say the quests, like go from A to B.
Yeah.
On your way to A to B, like C, D, E, F, 97, fucking 105, all happen. And you've got to, like, you end up just
the side missions and just little side things, just little.
Yeah, but the side missions are all relatively cool though. They're not just like go and take this letter to that man. It's not like that.
And avoid the spikes. Or something.
Aye, don't fall down any holes.
Fight the spikes.
Fight the spikes. But that is good. One thing I did quite like about it, combat wise, is like you have like a codex. So every time you meet like a new bad guy, like it unlocks like a codex, if you like.
And like a new sequence for spells and stuff.
Aye, and then basically you have to read about them, and it tells you like what they're vulnerable to. So it's like make like oils and stuff for your sword, so you can coat your sword in oils, and you've got like magic not magic spells like fire and ice and that. It's like your guy has like minimal magic. You have maybe like a shield, and you have like maybe like you can like control folks' minds. So if someone goes to hit you or that, you can take over their mind and be like, "Don't hit me," and the guy will be like, "Okay, I won't hit you," and then you can cut your seed off. But if you basically just run in and try and kill something, you know, 9 times out of 10 it'll kill you. So you have to read about it and learn about it. It's cool, man. The whole game's cool. The fighting's a little bit clunky. Everyone's in the combat system's great. I think it's a little bit clunky sometimes. And there's too many buttons that are the same. This is totally nitpicking. The button for your horse to jump and the button to get off your horse and the button to counter are all the same button. So if you are riding past something and something starts attacking you, you're like, right, get off the horse! And the horse will stop and then just like jump on the spot. And you're like, no, get off the fucking horse! And the button to run away and the button to roar are the same as well. So if you're getting absolutely smashed, you're like, right, run away, run away! And he just keeps doing these continuous forward rolls.
That sounds like it could be mega frustrating.
Yeah, it is, but I mean, the positives well outweigh the negatives. It's so good. There's very minimal loading times in it as well.
Oh, cool.
Like, when it first starts, there is loading times in it, but the actual game is so big that you can just walk about it. It's like all open world. It's like there's nothing. I think there's like maybe 5 or 6 different areas that you can go to, but each area is huge, like ridiculously huge. So huge, in fact, when I went to the second area, I looked at the map and put the game off because I was like, that's too big.
Oh, really?
Aye, it was overwhelmingly big.
Yeah, but presumably, like, a lot of those areas that would have been on the map, you wouldn't have been able to go into them.
Well, each big area has like different level bits in it, but it doesn't tell you what level it is, so you can just, like, walk, like, I was just walking along, killing these wee things, and then eventually I seen, like, this wee abandoned town. I was like, oh, I'm going to wee Jake in here, and then this big fucking, I don't even know what it was, just pretty much came out. I was like, what level is that? Unknown, that's how high it is.
Right.
And it just absolutely dicked me, which is fun.
So, go back to one of the things you said, actually, the main character, what's his name again?
Geralt. Geralt, I don't know.
The Witcher, wasn't it?
The Witcher, that's what
that's,
I call
that's the one.
I can't remember his, I'm shite with names, man.
No, was it?
Yeah, it was like my Unchild 44 as well. I was like, oh, that Russian man said
the Russian boy.
Russian
man. I looked up at what his name was, and I didn't know how to pronounce it.
Geralt.
I don't know, to be honest. I just assumed that someone would have called him by his name.
Like, oh, they do. And they do.
Oh, right, okay.
They do.
Just a couple of times? Like.
Just no, quite a few times. Like.
You've got some homework.
I've got some homework. The only thing about it is because it's number 3. You're meeting characters and they're like, oh, remember that time that me and you did that thing on the bridge? And I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about.
What I was going to ask, actually, is like, I was looking up, I can't remember why I was looking up, but I had a big list of anti-heroes that I was just looking through in popular culture, and he was
One of them.
He was one of them. And I was wondering, is the character portrayed as an anti-hero?
Depends how you play it. You get the option to do what you want. Each quest, some quests have got different ways you can do it if you like. I can't tell you that, can't be a spoiler. But there's certain ways you can either do it sort of a nice way or a bad way. And sometimes the bad way is not necessarily obvious, if that makes sense. But I mean, just to wrap it up though, combat, story, graphics, everything is quality in it. Absolutely quality. I mean, even if you're not a fantasy game, it's not as fantasy as Skyrim and stuff like that.
It's totally the same.
It's not like fairies and dragons and all that sort of stuff. It's pretty, most of it's like, you do got, there's obviously monsters, because that's the whole point. Yeah. Is like the Witchers are guys that deal with monsters, because you have two swords. You have a steel sword for killing normal guys, and you have a silver sword, like silver bullets, for killing like werewolves and stuff like that. But man, it's honestly, don't let the fantasy thing put you off, because it's a fucking fantastic game. It's so good.
The only reason that I'm not buying it just now is because 1 week today is when I'm going to be starting off my life indoors.
Yeah, Batman, yeah.
with Arkham Knight and everything. So, would you recommend it?
Definitely.
Absolutely.
So far, 10 out of 10. Can't follow it at all.
Wow, high praise. High praise.
That's very high praise.
The wee things that bug me. I've bugged me in other games as well.
Yeah.
So I can't exactly say, oh, shite because of this, but no, man, it's so good. I'm really enjoying it. Give me another week and I'll be like, it's pish! Because it gets too hard.
Nothing compared to Batman!
It is a hard game as well. That's one thing as well.
That's a good thing. That's, yeah. You
think you need that. Maybe it's because I'm shit at it. I'm finding it hard.
Maybe that too. Right, cool. That sounds pretty good then. So, we've got watching and reading left. Tommy, would you like to...
Yeah, cool, man. I've been watching the recently released Justice League Gods and Monsters Chronicles. That's a big title. Short animations that have been released through
Machinima. The title was longer than the actual animation, eh?
What they've done it... Yeah, it pretty much is. Because it's called Gods and Monsters, but it's got to be called Justice League Gods and Monsters, so you get the brand recognition.
Yeah.
And then they call it Chronicles, so you can differentiate between the animated feature, which is coming out at the end of next month.
Oh, right.
There's a full animated feature coming out.
So they're building up to... Cool.
There's a big trailer out for that as well.
Yeah, I've watched it. It was good.
Yeah,
it looked excellent.
I had no idea what was going on when I watched the trailer. Because when you texted me saying, oh yeah, watch these shorts, I couldn't find them and found the trailer. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
So this is, it's by, is it Machinima?
It's by Warner Brothers.
Being distributed through Machinima,
yeah. Because they've bought quite a lot of stocks in Machinima. Warner Brothers have bought quite a lot of stocks in Machinima recently. Yeah. So it's another animated film, but unlike the most recent animated films which have been, I don't know if you guys have ever watched them, but they've been pretty average.
I've seen a couple and they were quite sort of childish.
Yeah,
which kind of threw me off.
The guy Bruce Timm, who's been behind building the animated universe since the mid 90s, the Batman animated series and Superman animated series, Batman Beyond, Justice League Unlimited, and a handful of the full length films.
Mm.
He finally stepped down. It was 3 years ago or something like that. And since then, they've still been releasing these animated films, but they've not been anywhere near the same level of quality. And the animation is based on his designs, his character designs and stuff like that. The way that they're drawn in the animation is how he designs them. That's just the way he draws. He does comics and stuff like that as well.
So those full-length features presumably don't have a patch on these shorts?
No, they don't.
Because I've seen a couple of these shorts after you let us know about it.
Yeah.
They are, I've seen the Batman and the Superman one, and they're phenomenal.
Yeah, there's a Batman, Superman, and a Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman one's all right, but the Batman and the Superman ones are really dark.
The Superman one is ace. I loved it.
Agreed. Yeah, if anybody's not seen it, it's a five minute feature, and it's just this dense, rich 5 minutes of storytelling, and it's 0 to 100 miles an hour and everything like that. It's totally quality, totally.
Yeah,
I think I liked it better. It's basically not the original, not the characters that you know already.
No,
it's what Superman's, what, Zod's son?
Superman in this reimagining, is General Zod's son.
Aye.
So it's Son of Zod, and he's the one who gets... I'm presuming he's the one who escapes the planet Krypton. He's still the last Kryptonian. But Son of Zod instead of Kal-El. And then Batman's Kirk Langstrom, who's the Man Bat in usual Batman lore.
All right, okay.
It's just a big bat type creature.
So I won't lie, I've only ever seen pictures of him. I've never read anything with.
I only ever seen him on animated series.
Yeah,
he was an ace in animated series. I was like what, 7, so I mean, I would watch like a Slinky for hours. But I mean, yeah, I loved.
Yeah, Man Bat was cool, man. He was in the first episode ever of Batman animated series. But yeah, it's looking like it's going to be really good. It's looking like it's going to be awesome, and I love this marketing campaign that they've got with these shorts. It's really building excitement for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, the guy you're saying done them. I seen a short he done for the Batman 75th anniversary.
Yeah, sure.
That was cool as well. That was linked to it, and it was just basically it looked like Solomon Grundy or something like that he was fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just had a big massive guy and Hugo Strange, but it was like done in like a whole kind of like Batman comes in and saves the girl, kind of like the damsel in distress.
Yeah,
it was
pulpy, quite pulpy
yeah. Sense, it was yeah. good though. It was good.
Cool.
Yeah, it's real cool. I'm highly anticipating this film. Can't
so if it's shite,
it won't be.
No, I honestly agree. I don't think we'll be going by the quality of those shorts. Which are just, I think you just get through YouTube, or maybe if you go to the Machinima or.
I'm sure they're on both websites. Yeah,
yeah.
Machinima's channel on YouTube or Machinima's website.
Yeah, well worth a watch. Well worth a watch. I'm going to pull a shocker out of the bag. I've got reading.
Oh.
Wow. And I've read. Tommy's fallen over.
Clearly had an audio tape, an audio book.
I've actually got two because I thought you would bust my balls for one of them because it was I watched the film of it first. So, firstly, I read the comic of Bolt by a couple of Scottish talent. Well, I think David Lumsden, the writer, is certainly Scottish, and I'm not quite sure if Mark Whelan's the artist Scottish, but I think he is. Anyway, it's a comic of the film which was released this year, just called Boat the Film, and it's about this father and son that are sort of trying to make their way through post-apocalyptic Edinburgh when everything's just been destroyed by floods. And it's basically just the comic version of it, but it gives it a different edge. Gives it more of a depth to the characters, especially the dad, who I feel needed a touch more of that in the film, because it touches on a couple of things that I didn't quite get in the film, and the captions that just go along with it are really, really good. It's like it's totally bleak and everything like that, but it's really, really good. Like it's really short as well, but pretty powerful. Above anything else, it's nice to see something that's just set in Edinburgh, which is pretty cool.
I remember a couple of screenshots came out for this a wee while ago, like a couple of years ago, something like that. I remember seeing pictures of Edinburgh,
yeah,
but like totally.
So those were concept art; they don't actually appear in the film,
right?
But Edinburgh Castle does.
Nice,
but I wouldn't say where. But it's really, really cool. Anyway,
I'm assuming it's going to be Edinburgh, Edinburgh Castle. I'm assuming that's where it appears.
What?
You said you wouldn't say where. I'm assuming it's in Edinburgh.
No. We're in the story, man.
You'll have to watch and find out, Greg.
Yeah, you will. And just quickly, actually, so I totally recommend that short, but you might get it from independent retailers, or if I think it's at Boat the Film on Twitter.
Is that how you get yours?
I got through Forbidden Planet, yeah. And if you tweet Boat the Film, you maybe get in touch with the fellow who wrote it and who actually filmed it and everything like that. But while I've got time left, I'm going to go straight on to the next bit, which is New 52 Swamp Thing, Volume 1. Tommy's a fan. I was pleasantly surprised by it, to be honest with you. I pretty much knew nothing about Swamp Thing apart from there was a superhero called Swamp Thing. The story explains his background well enough with the bio-generative stuff. That's the one. Just Wikipedia, whatever. There's bits that never quite fully clicked, parts of his backstory that I didn't understand, but it explains it well enough. It explains the green and the red versus the rot and how that storyline works, which I really like them. They're quite cool names, especially the rot. That's a cool name for bad guys.
trying to explain. I don't know how Swamp Thing's not more of a prominent character in the DC universe. Yeah. He seems like he should be with the sort of characters and have.
He does appear in other stories.
Maybe I've just not seen him as much, but he seems like he should be more prominent. What else? There's Alec Holland, Abigail Arcane, relationship between those two, like the star-crossed lovers, angel and demon type love story they've got there. William Arcane, the wee boy who can basically...
He's quality.
What would you say his powers is? Like
he just the power of the rot, isn't it?
It's just latches like dead materials and basically
mutates you, essentially.
Gruesome style to that. The art though is absolutely phenomenal. It's
Yannick Paquette.
Yannick Paquette, quality, absolutely.
He's a great artist.
He's a good guy.
He's an artist, you know.
An artist, that's the one. There's some brilliant visuals and everything like that, but it's really, really, really good. And did it get cancelled? Was this one of the two?
It's not been renewed for the new DCU.
Was it?
But it ran for, it was New 52 for the entirety of the New 52, basically, so it's like 38 issues.
Will they bring him into something else though? Because he was in. Yeah. Swamp Thing appears in
Justice League Dark.
That is Dark.
He'll be in that new Justice League Dark thing.
Hope so.
Well, at the end of it definitely left me wanting more anyway. So
I want more.
I'm quite keen to read some more about
Animal Man as well. If you like it, get involved with Animal Man.
I might do that as well
because he's part of the Red.
Oh, is he really? Oh, yeah, that might explain the Red then.
He's the avatar of the Red, which is animals.
The artwork in Animal Man is crazy though. I didn't like it. It was weird, but
it is a bit weird.
Still worth a read.
Cool. Sounds good. Oh, I'm going to get Animal Man as well then. I should add to this that I'll resume getting a slag in from the chaps here by saying I bought Swamp Thing over a year ago and it's just me.
I remember you buying Swamp Thing.
It's just me reading.
I think you told me you bought Swamp Thing. That's cool.
So there you go. So I'm getting there. I'm getting there with my reading. I've learned how to do it again.
Good. Well done, man. Well done.
Thanks, guys. Let's get it down. So this is a bonus section because we don't really have that much news this week. So we're going to do a section on cereal.
Because Tommy said something earlier on about cereal and it really ground my gears.
Repeat what you've said, Tommy. Your claim. Your outlandish claim. Greg, repeat what you said.
Cocoa Pops are the only cereal for man. That's what he said.
For an adult male.
And he doesn't like Weetabix.
And he doesn't like store brand Cocoa Pops by the sounds of things.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, come on.
Why would you?
Because Cocoa Pops... they're all jagged and shit.
They don't taste the same.
Do you know? No, I agree with that. But do you know what? I'm one of these guys who, see, if I put loads of milk in my Cocoa Pops,
I do,
right? But I don't like the milk at the end.
That's ridiculous.
And everyone's like, "Oh, it's the best bit." But I'm one of these guys. I can't eat soggy cereal. So man, I eat cereal in record time. I'm like, fucking, shove on it in my throat, and then I pour the milk down the sink.
Oh,
and
you
I know.
Even.
I know. I try to make sure no one's in the kitchen when I do that, just in case, because folk just do shout at me.
Okay, what you should do? You should you should pour it back in a bottle or something so someone else can enjoy it.
It's just sugary milk. No, it was all warm. Oh, no,
they wouldn't have put it in the fridge.
Yeah, but nobody wants my leftover milk.
Apart from you, then you don't want it.
I don't want it. Exactly. So no one then.
That's very true, actually.
Golden Grahams, though. I bought Golden Grahams the other day. One, because no one buys Golden Grahams. And two, fancy something different. I put our Golden Grahams, right, which are, you come with they are, right? They're like shreddies, but they taste
like... they're like cinnamony.
Yeah, oh, no, that's cinnamon Grahams. Come on, man, fucking hell, you're cereal.
Honey?
Origins.
Nobody buys Golden Grahams.
Well, that's my point, so I bought them. And do you know why you don't buy them? It's because as soon as you pour cereal on them, they just go soggy. There's no give, there's no crunch, it's just like, oh, bleh, bland, mush. I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake. It was horrible, absolutely horrible. So I ate all them, and... And they're that kind of cereal where, like, when you have like two or three left, you've got to chase it round the bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Because it fucking gets away from you. So I managed to eat the last one, eat that, tried the milk. Horrible milk went down the sink. Next to every other bit of milk there. My bowls.
I see a pattern.
I'm a big fan of cereal.
Well, I'm similarly a big fan of cereal. I must argue your Cocoa Pops point, though, is that I feel that Weetos are a man's.
Oh, I would say that I'm definitely a Cocoa Pops fan over Weetos.
I like Weetos. I'm a big fan of Weetos. Big fan.
Well, what about this? I'd say almost that Weetos are like third in the chocolate world.
Fair enough.
I behind Nesquik.
What, the wee Nesquik ball thing?
Aye, the little rabbit shits.
Oh.
You ever noticed that the logo's a rabbit and it looks like rabbit shit?
Chocolate cereal though, I mean, you can get the wee pillow things, the Crave stuff. Have you ever had them?
Don't like them.
Oh man, they're amazing. You get white chocolate ones as well. In fact, that has been my king of cereal that I've had for a while.
Cookie Crunch.
Cookie Crunch was good for a bit,
but they're too kind of boring. It's not cereal though. It's like having real chocolate in your cereal is like having real meat on a sandwich. No one wants that.
You want real meat on a sandwich?
Yeah, you want like meat that comes in a tin. Again, you have to open a tin opener and like scoop it with a spoon.
Shout out for chopped pork.
I fucking love chopped pork. Anything that's processed, I'll get it in me.
On a serious note, I don't actually eat cereal. I eat porridge.
Salt or sugar?
I actually like the flavoured porridge, like apple and blueberry.
Oh, is this the Quaker stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. I had some
of that the other day. The golden syrup one's nice.
That's alright, yeah.
Oh,
prefer the fruity one.
Aye, no,
that figures.
Okay, I'm gonna be really controversial with while we're on the topic of breakfast.
Don't say toast.
I'm not gonna say toast. I love toast though. Toast is great.
Toast is awesome.
Toast is the best. It's not controversial either. I've been going up the stairs at my work because the cafe's on the top floor, and I've been surveying what they've had for breakfast. And you've got your bacon rolls.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your sausage rolls. You've got your various meats. You've got
porridges.
No, they're
hot breakfast roll meats.
They've got bits and pieces. They've got their porridges, which you can buy in wee pots and you can just make while you're there.
Yep.
They've also got I'm gonna get ripped for this. There is Greek yogurt with a wee fruit compote and granola at the top, and it's phenomenal.
Is it like a posh crunch corner?
It's amazing. Yeah, it is. The Greek yogurt's really good for you as well.
How so? How so more than normal yogurt?
Because it's made in Greece.
Look it up.
Oh, good day.
Okay, know. I'll do that.
I don't know. I've been reliably informed that it is by health food experts.
Did it say on the side of the pot thing?
No, it's because like, it's a clear pot because the chef makes it himself.
He makes the yogurt himself?
Well, not physically off his body.
It's man yogurt, son.
To be honest, that's talent.
It's Go-Gurt.
If he's made that himself, he... Fair play.
Do you ever find the odd hair in it and stuff? Like, oh, what the fuck's this?
Some flakes of skin.
It's
found to be a couple of nuggets of turd in it.
Oh, good.
But that's a good one. But toast is the king, isn't it?
Toast's not a breakfast thing. Toast's a snack.
I can't wait, man.
Toast's a snack. I have toast in the night and during the day rather than do a bit breakfast. I don't eat breakfast, actually.
You used to have crisps at work when we went
to work. I make a packed lunch and eat it on the bus and it work.
Toasted peanut butter and jam. That's a heavyweight in the
peanut butter and jam. Peanut butter and... No, jam and cheese.
Oh, no, thank you.
What do you mean, no? Have you ever tried it?
No, thank you.
No, well, you can't. See, I always said that. You can't say, no, you don't like it until you've tried it. But then if someone says, do you want to shag up the arse? I'd be like, no, thank you, I don't like that. You've not tried it yet, but I guarantee you I won't like it. So.
How do you know, though?
Well, I don't know for a start. There you go. I don't think I will ever find out. It's one of those things that, like, I'm quite happy not knowing, I think.
Fair enough.
I think it's good because you might like it.
Well, that's the thing. I've got nothing to gain from it. I've got everything to lose.
So what do you have to lose? Your bum virginity, but that's about it.
Well, yeah. It would make me question life choices quite heavily if I turned around and be like, actually, I really like getting shagged up there. How the hell did we get on the list? Breakfast cereals?
I think it was you that brought it up.
Yeah, probably was.
Any opportunity. I'm pretty sure you brought up the shagging up the arse.
Any opportunity. We're talking about breakfast. Cool, shagging up the arse. Let's do it. We'll segue into the news from getting bugged. So E3 has been on this week, and there's been a ton of stuff that's come out from E3. What have we got?
Announcements for games releases for next year and stuff.
Obviously the biggest one, so I'm going to put in here because he hasn't started with the obvious. The biggest one is Fallout 4.
What else is
November? Oh my god, this is like you guys not liking Star Wars. I don't like Star Wars either, which is a bad example, but it's this could be the biggest game ever made. This is like
Half-Life 3 has got potential to do that.
Half-Life 3 is a pipe dream. That is never happening. That's been getting made for about 20 years. Was it Duke Nukem?
Has it actually been getting made?
Nah. That's a thing. People will be wanting it for 20 years. Anyway, it's not about this. Fallout 4.
Ah, curses, you're fault,
mate. Fallout 4 is going to be absolutely phenomenal. I've seen some of the gameplay, I've seen the trailer. Everything looks amazing. It just looks like more of the same, but they've taken all the great stuff and made it even better. It's going to be phenomenal.
So, but I played Fallout 3 and I didn't really enjoy it. However.
But you like wheels.
No, that. Anyway, I don't know what to say about that. I watched the trailer for Fallout 4 and I thought it looked really, really good. I thought it looked genuinely pretty cool. I like the fact that you get a dog in it. That's one of the things.
You got a dog in Fallout 3?
I didn't know that because I didn't get as far as having a dog in Fallout 3.
You never gave it a chance, eh?
I did give it a chance.
I never gave the game a chance either, to be honest. I played like the first hour or something and I was like...
I think I gave it about 6 hours and... 6 hours was enough, to be honest with you. But then I said the same thing about Game of Thrones.
You don't like that either, do you?
I didn't buy into what I watched for the first 6 episodes, but then I watched them all back to back, and I think it was a hangover day. So I've made my judgment with that. And having heard so much about Game of Thrones recently, I've kind of questioned whether I should go back to it and everything.
You should definitely go back to it. Season 5 finished last night. And oh man, it was fucking hard on town all round. It was, the last episode was, in fact, episode 9 was brilliant. Episode 8, oh, it's brilliant, right?
It's brilliant, because in the 4th season it was like, it started off okay and then it got alright in the middle, and then it was like maybe two or three episodes before the end is when it really started kind of...
It's brilliant because this is the weakest season.
With
this
the Red Wedding and stuff like that.
This
and before the Red Wedding I was like, there has been some stuff happening, but it just didn't really feel... like anything had happened compared to other seasons.
From what I'm led to believe, like with the books and that, like this is the weakest book that they've transformed into a season.
Alright.
But this has definitely been the weakest season, but the last couple of episodes, the last few episodes were fantastic. So go back and watch it.
Alright.
All of it.
No, in a day. All of it. I'll die! God! Just like everyone else in Game of Thrones, apparently, that's a thing that happens.
That's a thing that happens.
No one's safe, man.
No one's safe.
No one is fucking safe, by the
way. What about Sean Bean? Don't tell me he dies.
It's Sean Bean. Sean Bean's been cast in a new film, and as soon as I seen him get... I can't remember what it was. As soon as I seen his name getting mentioned, I was like, well, he dies. Spoilers. She just basically put, like, spoiler, this contains Sean Bean.
Should just have a film where he's like, he goes to take his first line and someone shoots him in the head. And they're like, right, fine, cool. And get rid of that. What's the actual twist then in the film? Right?
Plot twist, Sean Bean doesn't die. Oh, good.
But he didn't die in Silent Hill.
Doesn't he?
No. Well, not in the first one. No, he's the one that's in the real realm.
Yeah, I'm sure he's just in the
is
real
he the one
realm.
That, so
he's just kind of kicking
is...
about the hospital and stuff, though. It doesn't really, like...
No.
It doesn't have much to do. No. Kind of forgot he was in that film, actually, until you mentioned that.
I did all right in it, apart from his American accent, which was pretty shite, to be honest with you. But anyway, we're talking about news, and we're talking about E3 stuff. Gears of War 4.
Yes. Took the words right out of my mouth. I love the Gears of War series, they're awesome.
Apart from 3, that was crap.
I never played any.
And the one after that was pretty crap as well.
I think there was only one after that. There was
one and 2. Gears of War 1 was groundbreaking. Gears of War 2 was more of the same, which was great.
Yeah.
Gears of War 3 was even more of the same, which was just boring. You should have seen it before. But Gears of War 4, if they reinvent it, could be really, really good. It's a good franchise anyway. Bring back.
Absolutely. What about a new Hitman?
I played Hitman Absolution when it came out for free on the PlayStation Plus subscription thingy last year, and I really, really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it up until the end, where it actually became a game where it's not really about stealth anymore. It's about a wee bit of stealth, and then it gets fucking insanely difficult for a stealth game. It dragged on a wee bit at the end, but I thought the actual concept of Hitman's, I like that. I like the stealthy nature of it, and I'd be quite keen to see more of Hitman.
I played that as well, actually. I'm pretty sure. No, it was my mate gave me it. I didn't like it.
No, but to be honest, this is another one that I hadn't played any of the Hitman
before.
And this was my first exposure to it. I quite enjoyed it.
I think
it.
I think you could be right with that, because I played Hitman on PS2, and I really liked Hitman on PS2. But I've never been a huge fan of it, do you know what I mean? It's never got me like, really, really excited. It's been one of these games where if someone says, oh, it's good, I eventually buy it. But PS2 was good, but I didn't really like the one on last gen, so yeah. I mean, they're making a film as well. There's a new film getting
released. Oh, is it?
Oh, they made one before, it was alright.
It
was okay, yeah.
But they're making new films. Oh, Mass Effect 4's coming out.
Oh, Christmas 2016.
Yeah, Mass Effect 4.
That's going to make everyone's Christmas, isn't it?
It is. If you're
never
Mass
played
Effect. Oh, my God. God, Tommy.
this is amazing. This is like a gallery of sort of like
stuff we've never seen him play that we're having to introduce people to. You have to play Mass Effect.
It's too big now, though. I can't go back and start.
Mass Effect 1, Mass Effect 1's not great, no great loss, to be honest.
Mass Effect 2 is one of the best games ever made.
Mass Effect 2 is... In fact, just play Mass Effect 2. Didn't even worry about Mass Effect 3.
Read the, like, watch the, like, the main story or whatever it is on YouTube or something like that. But Mass Effect 2, if you want to get a Mass Effect game, awesome.
What else have we got? E3.
Done that. Dishonored 2.
Solid.
Did you ever think you'd see a sequel to this game?
I really didn't.
Not near that. I'm quite excited about it. Because I liked Dishonored 1, but I know it kind of it was overhyped. And it came out and a lot of folk
were like,
seen this before, didn't really like it. I liked it.
Same.
I liked it. I had to get into it, though, to be honest. I didn't see a lot.
I agree with that as well. You had to sort of, you had to make sure that when you're playing it, you're really invested in it, and the first few levels, getting to grips with the controls, getting to grip with the story, getting to get grip with the way that Bethesda works, because I, to be honest, I haven't watched much of, I played much of Bethesda's games, but once you got used to the, the magic-y stuff.
I can't remember what it's called, isn't it?
I can't remember either, but once you get used to that sort of stuff, I thought that made the game far more enjoyable.
The mechanics of like taking over a rat and like climbing up drain pipes and stuff was ace.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
Totally
all that
agree,
sort of stuff was really good.
Yeah,
so I'm quite excited for that.
The trailer for the new one, a little bit boring.
Was it? I've not seen it.
But you can play as Corvo Atano or the woman's name escapes me. I can't remember, but I think she's got something to do with the first game, maybe. But you can play as two characters. So
cool. Final Fantasy VII. HD remake remaster is back. Boom.
Now, I'm quite excited about this. I'll tell you why. It's because I've never, ever actually played Final Fantasy VII. No, I haven't.
I've played as well.
Although I was playing Final Fantasy X. Never
played it.
You've actually played it, Paul.
Yeah,
well done. You've never played it. That doesn't surprise me. It's got the word fantasy in the title. I thought you were kind of thinking.
Final Fantasy. Oh, never
mind. I'm quite excited because... like I say, I've never ever played it, and everyone keeps going and saying it's the best Final Fantasy game ever made, up there with like possibly one of the best games ever made. Only reservation I have got recently from playing Final Fantasy X was, I remember saying to you, I only liked it because I'd played it before, because it didn't really play very well. Well, that's a lie. The cutscenes and the story and like the just the way it comes across is really dated. Dated very well. And I've got reservations as to whether Final Fantasy VII might be the same.
Well, the first Resident Evil remake was, because it was like amazing to see it happen, like I sat and I played it all, but even I was like, oh god, these doors again, oh it's loaded again, yeah. Oh I've got to go back to my chest again, because you can't carry that many weapons or items with you. Oh, it did great on you.
Yeah.
The way that it was designed and stuff, it was different. And Final Fantasy VII, if I remember correctly, was... the turn-based combat took fucking ages. Like, it really took a long time for you. You'd select something for your character to do, and you would do the action, the maneuver.
Aye.
The kind of small animation of it, and then battles just took fucking ages on it.
See, there was an option in the Final Fantasy X to shorten that down. Like, if you go to, like, you can go to options, you can go to, like, animations, you can go to short. So like when you're like, because that was like when you're summoning an Aeon, you're summoning these big massive monster things that comes down, and it's like, there it is in the sky, and it flies about in another big massive circle and then comes down to the ground and then like has a wee dance and that and then walks about, and I'm like, for fuck sake. But you can put it on short, so it literally just goes, alright, I'm here, let's fight, and I'm like, that's a lot better.
Done.
Yeah.
That's like, that cuts the gameplay out by about 7 hours just by taking that out.
For every boss battle it probably would.
Aye, it was crazy. But yeah, I'm excited about that. Any date for that, or just no dick in?
I don't think they've said anything about it, as far as dates or anything. And I think the clips that they showed everybody at E3 was quite a short, not really gameplay.
Aye, clip. Just, this is happening basically. Yeah. That's cool though, I'll be looking forward to that.
Cool. What else have we got? One more, I think, was the
Tom Clancy game that Greg
was
talking about.
The Division. I have been looking forward to this for...
Is it The Division or The Divide?
Sorry. The Division... Oh, they can now. I'm sure it's Division.
Sorry.
Division?
I must be thinking of something.
I think it's that anyway. Fuck, I should really check. Okay? But I've not been looking forward to that at all. I didn't really care about it. But I seen 7 minutes of gameplay of it last night, and it looks absolutely immense. It's like an MMO co-op.
Is this the one where you're sort of going around... There's
There's like three people playing.
Yes.
As the division, sorry.
Aye.
You're right. There's three people playing, and what other features?
It was basically it seemed to be like kind of, like, sort of, not quests, but basically you got missions to go on. Like, the one I seen was you had to go and, like, sort of storm a police station, and then obviously you play as a team of four or three, and you go in, you've also got your headsets on, so it's all co-op. People can play on tablets as well, so you can play on your iPad, or you can play on, like, your phone or whatever, and they can play as, like, drones, so they can join your game whilst you're playing on PS4, but on a handheld device. They can help you out, they can play, like I say, drones and, like, little flying things, and they can play as commanders, and they can drop in and out at any time they want. But one thing that I did see, and I didn't know this was in it, was PvP's in it. So you can come across other teams of people playing.
Nice.
And fight with them and kill them, because they would try to do the same thing as what you're trying to do. I just looked from the reveal, actually got me really excited. I mean, it's a game that's, like, the name's been about for ages, and it's a next gen game, and I've just never been interested, because Tom Clancy games have always, I think they're a bit rubbish. They're all the kind of the same, but this one looks really good.
Like. Well, this one's got a lot of hype behind it, and I think with that we'll try and wrap it up there, because we've got another cheeky wee new feature that we're going to come out in the next.
Yeah, that isn't serial.
I know. So you're going to enjoy it. Let's give this one a ding as well.
Ba-dang.
Ba-dang. We're too good to you these days. We are too good to you. We've got another new feature. Another new feature. This is going to be based on the game Super Fight, which is a thing that came through, what, was Loot Crate for one?
Yeah, it was an expansion through Loot Crate.
Yeah.
Never heard of it before.
But it's born for us a game, which is pretty good. What we're going to do is we're just going to battle two monsters against each other in an environment. One of us is going to have a wee argue. The other one's going to have a wee argue against it. And at the end of us, and end of each round, one of us is going to decide a winner. We're going to do it three times, three battles, and all three winners go through to a final where we're going to battle each other and inevitably fall out because we all think our monsters win.
This is to determine the best monster ever.
This is it. Well, in this pile,
this is science.
In this pile of notes that we have here, and there's some fucking shockers. One in particular, which may or may not come up, but. We're going to be segmented, so we're not segmented here, so it doesn't sound like we're really, really rushing. So let's move on to battle number one. Battle one. Gentlemen, pick your cards. 3 minutes starts now. So you've got 30 seconds to look at your monster.
The Kraken.
Oh, I've got Shrek.
And the environment is old rope bridge over lava.
Oh.
I think you may have been incapacitated.
So you may well have been incapacitated. So Shag, you've got a wee bit to think about that. And Tommy, I think we should start with you. Your minute starts now over why Shrek would beat the Kraken.
Right, okay, well, Shrek would turn up and chuck boulders at him and hit him with a big stick, and he'd get Donkey to come
on his face
as well.
Let Tommy have his argument. Funny as that was.
And the giant gingerbread person boy thing, that was quite a big. He's calling backup. He's calling major backup.
You can't have a team.
Tommy's decided to call backup.
And eventually, due to the enormous weight of the Kraken and the additional weight of the backup of the team, the Kraken falls into lava and dies.
Now bear in mind, Tommy has just summoned a giant gingerbread man to count as part of his team. Right. So you happy with what your argument, Tommy, there? 5 seconds to go?
Yes.
Cool. Greg, go.
Right, Kraken. Can he actually get anywhere near the rope bridge? So what he's going to do is he's going to sit in the water, right? And the sea, right? The ocean, miles away.
Okay.
Basically, get all the pirates for the Pirates of the Caribbean, all the dead ones and that, because he's pals, because it's a...
Fair enough.
There's a wee tedious link there.
Fair enough.
And he'll send them along to the rope bridge to destroy any fucking Shrek character you can throw at me. They'll take that gingerbread man back to their ship, and they'll do bad things to him, because he deserves it, quite frankly. And then once all that's done, even the pirate's gonna die, they give a shit. I don't give a shit who dies, as long as everyone dies.
20 seconds.
Kraken's just sitting in the ocean, getting at the big yin.
Getting at the big yin.
Yeah. I don't need any more time. I've won.
Cool. Right. Well, I'm going to tell you why you haven't actually.
What?
you've got the Kraken. You've got other people to do the Kraken's dirty work.
Uh huh. So is he.
There was a difference.
There's much more, a much better link to his backup than to yours.
Like, I can't go onto the land. How the fuck is he supposed to go on a bridge?
Let's think about it this way. Who would you rather have to advance to a final against two other massive monsters, the Kraken or Shrek?
Fair enough, Shrek. I bet I'll kill him in the final.
Shrek wins this one. He advances to the final for the best monster ever.
How is Shrek even in this?
Okay, so here we are, battle number two, Greg versus Richard. Guys, look at your cards.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I have got a carnivorous plant.
I have got Predator.
Nice. Okay. Right.
Okay, cool. And your environment you shall be fighting in is a desert island. I don't know if that's a typo.
No, it's not, because there's desert island as well.
Desert island. Okay.
Who's first?
Greg can go first.
Right. I think Predator would be a plant simply because he's Predator. There's too many abilities that Predator I can list for Predator. There's too many ways that Predator could kill a plant. There's not even an argument here. It's just Predator just is a far superior hunter. For a start, he's a hunter. He's a fucking alien. He's a master in combat. He's a master with weapons. You can go invisible. He loves cake as well, so that really plays into Desert Island. I don't know if he loves cake, he just made that.
Well, I mean, you would say presumably Predator does love cake.
But how does he use this environment?
Yeah.
To his advantage.
Because he loves cake.
Yeah, well, what it does is he kills a plant and then eats loads of cake. Like, that's pretty much what it does.
5 seconds.
Not yet anymore time.
Okay, good, you're off. Richard, you're off.
Well, being that we're on Desert Island, I would imagine that this is some sort of Mario-style land, and I'm pretty sure carnivorous plants thrive in Mario-based worlds. Such do the plants that are coming out of the pipes in Super Mario. I believe a carnivorous plant would beat Predator because he would be able to go back down in underground and start communicating with all the other plants through the root systems. Glad I read Swamp Thing. He'll have a sort of hive mind that is going to bring all of the other plants up through from this big sugary island, and a sugary base is going to be a really good place to start cultivating. I don't know, things like fungus and mould and stuff like that, and the big carnivorous plant is going to focus all its energy on totally consuming Predator, dragging him down in the island, suffocating him, killing him.
Two. Excellent. Well,
guys, one thing that's not to do the argument. Have we noticed that basically whenever you get a rubbish monster, we just say they'll get back up. They'll go and get back up.
Yes.
Not to buck the trend of the most rubbish monster going through to the next round, but I'm going to have to give it to carnivorous plant.
Oh, fuck's sake.
So Shrek versus carnivorous plant versus let's find out. Fucking hell.
Okay, battle number three. See who goes and takes a place in the final. Can contestants draw your monsters?
I have King Kong.
King Kong?
Yeah.
And Richard, you have
Joseph Fritzer.
Right, okay.
Is that not a disqualification?
Why, he's a monster, right?
He is a monster.
Fucking monster.
Human monster.
Wait, right, compose yourself, right. Tommy.
Yes.
Take us away. Why would King Kong beat Joseph? Oh no, shit, wait, now I need to do the environment. An undersea research station.
Alright, okay.
Take it away.
Joseph Fritzl's carpentry skills are going to have to come in handy here.
King Kong would sniff out Joseph Fritzl. He would find him. Because King Kong's very protective of women, as we saw in the original movies.
Oh!
Joseph Fritzl's like, he's like the anti King Kong, really. So King Kong would find him, track him down inside the research station, and then pick him up and bite his head off and eat it.
Oh my god, right, okay, I'm snottering everything. Right,
you've still got 10 seconds.
Oh,
are you and good? Then after he's done that, he would probably get really lonely and then just break the balls down in the research station and drown himself.
That's a nice, brutal way. Right, Hanover, why would Joseph Fritzl beat King Kong?
Fucking build a big cellar. Oh my god, I don't know. Joseph Fritzl would he would really have to rely on just hiding and like luring King Kong into some huge big cellar that he's built underneath this huge big underwater research station. I have no idea how he would get down there. Maybe that was one of the things his prison sentence included, that he was such a monster he has to be kept underwater.
Oh man.
He's used his time underwater developing a sonar system that only King Kong can hear, and it's irresistible to him. And King Kong jumps into the water and keeps on trying to get down, and King Kong drowns, and Joseph Fritzl survives drinking a cup of tea.
Cool. Oh man, right, okay. I don't know.
I loved
Tommy's argument made a lot of sense.
It
made a lot of sense. However, purely because he is like the definition of monster, Joseph Fritzl is making it through to the final.
Where he will face
Shrek and a carnivorous plant.
Oh my god.
It's a triple threat, man.
This could have been like King Kong versus Godzilla versus Predator, but nope. We're in the final, where there was monsters such as the Kraken, Sully from Monsters, Inc., Toothless Wicked Ahad, Stay Puffed Marshmallow, Poltergeist, Gizmo, Predator, Charizard, I'm disappointed with that, and Xenomorph would have got fucked by Charizard anyway. We are in a final now with three, and we've got, who have we got each?
Shrek.
Carnivorous Plant, and Tommy.
This guy.
As the monster, the true monster.
The monster among monsters.
No, Joseph Fritzl. So, what we're going to do now is we have to choose the environment. We're choosing environment, so we go.
So the environment is crashing aeroplane with only one parachute.
Well, I know who's getting the parachute.
Yep.
Carnivorous Plant.
So who wants to go first?
Well,
or do we just balls out?
I think we should just do a debate.
Fucking balls out debate, right? Okay, balls out debate. Let's go.
Shrek would win this time. Why? Because he'll grab the parachute first and then jump.
Disagree. Because Shrek will try and jump.
Right.
But because Carnivorous Plant, they'll have to have some reason for being on the plane. So presumably
he'll have to have some reason. Shrek got him in duty free and brought him on.
So presumably he'll be in some sort of plant or some sort of like soil or whatever to keep him alive. He'll sort of supercharge his creative powers. He'll chuck a vine out at Shrek's leg, pull him back into the plane, batter him against the side, and the parachute will fall off. Shrek's down. The plant doesn't really have any arms to
but he has vines.
Pick up the...
He has vines. He has vines.
Yeah, but he doesn't have any way of picking up the parachute. But Joseph Fritzl might.
But then he decides against it.
Why is that?
Because he sees the error of his ways throughout his life, knows the mistakes that he's made, and then chucks himself out of the aeroplane.
With the parachute.
Not with the parachute.
I think he would jump out with the parachute, but by the time he's put on his back and he tries to pull the cord, he'll realise that Shrek and the carnivorous plant have both conspired to take the parachute out of the backpack, and Joseph Fritzl punched his death.
Oh, he pulls the cord and nothing's there. Oh, they put an anvil in it.
He
pulls the cord.
Right,
and it releases an anvil, and then obviously it falls.
I was going to say that we could come and get you, because what could happen is Shrek could jump out to get the parachute off of Joseph Fritzl while the plant has a vine wrapped around his leg to pull him back in once he's got it.
Right, okay, well, we'll do that.
And then
we'll do, no, it's fine.
That's
fine. So the plant will have Shrek hanging out of the plane.
Who's holding the parachute?
Who's trying to get Joseph Fritzl. I'll just let go of Shrek.
who can also plunge to his
death. But they have the parachute.
No. Yeah, but we've already established that it's been taken out. Of
no, no, that I've rewound that.
Oh, okay,
fine. That's finished.
All right, that's
the parachute. 1 minute 30 left.
The parachute is
one
there.
Minute even.
The parachute is there. Ken, what actually? Shrek. Ken, what he's going to do? Shrek has seen the Fritzl as the monster he is, and he can't live with himself that he's even on a fucking plane with him. So he's going to take the controls of the plane and just nosedive it and kill everyone. All three of them die. Apart from the plant.
Plant wouldn't die, it'd be able to thrive.
No, it wouldn't. Actually, it would, because when the plane crashes and like it's a big ruin or whatever, when they find that the plant will have grown all over it and there'll be loads of vines and whatever.
Well, there's spores and stuff as well. If it released spores into the air as it was dying, even it could live on and new plant life.
A new plant life.
I can't believe
plant life.
A carnivorous plant has beat King Kong.
You know what I thought was a bit strange when they said carnivorous plant and nobody said the plant out of the Little Shop of Horrors?
That's what I said before that.
You did. I'd kind of got in my head now that the carnivorous plant was the one from Super Mario that just tried to eat Mario all the time. But
I can spit fire, by the way.
That's right. So, have we established now then that the carnivorous, are we saying carnivorous plant or Shrek?
I would say Fritzl.
I would say not Fritzl.
Well, I'm kidding.
I think Fritzl died, and it was an unfortunate choice that somehow popped up in our game.
So is it Shrek or carnivorous?
I'd say carnivorous, but Shrek's not really a monster, is he? You can't. Nice. I don't even know why he's even here.
He's a lovable monster.
Yeah, well, that's monster. It. We're done.
Carnivorous plant wins.
It's a shame that Shrek had to die, but there you go.
Fuck
it. These things happen. Carnivorous plant wins. I can't believe carnivorous plant wins.
That's funny.
But at the same time, Super Fight, you've given us one that's been out all our suggestions. So if you're listening, thanks. We done?
Yep. Dang it.
Complete fucking. Well, that was quite something. we'll not discuss him. We won't say his name. We will announce Carnivorous Plant
again as the winner
of this podcast. It's been all right, man.
Man, I have never laughed like that for ages.
Not since my quiz last time.
No. My eyes are sore.
Don't know how you're feeling about it.
My eyes are okay, thanks.
Good.
And I enjoyed it.
Good.
Well, also,
I mean, it's more convincing this time, to be honest.
He's getting there.
I'm trying really hard.
He's taking lessons.
As ever, at Desert Wales on Twitter, at the Desert Wales on Instagram. When's the last time we Instagrammed?
Oh, ages. I Instagrammed once, not a long ago. Well, it's not a long. Yeah, ages.
Right, okay, we'll maybe get back on that.
I'll get on that.
Where is it? DesertWales@gmail.com if you want to email us. And I'll get a wee picture up of the Desert Whale Pale Ale, which has gone down quite well, to be honest.
It's very nice.
A couple of bottles.
Yeah, it's lovely.
This podcast.
It is nice.
We're gonna cheers to the mic just now.
Oh my god.
Cheers with the boys. And we'll leave on a sort of more sober note than we usually do and just say a massive rest in peace to a couple of legends in two different spheres of entertainment. Rest in peace to Christopher Lee and rest in peace to Dusty Rhodes. Cheers from us, and we'll see y'all next time.